Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we want to talk with you about how to deal with opposition. You're going to find it all through your life. And, you know, the question is, what do I do when I have an opponent? It could be that, you know, there's opposition over some strife that's building between you. Could be that you're witnessing to somebody and they are opposed to your beliefs. Could be a number of things. And so what we want to do today is we want to see what the Bible says, because the Bible gives us clear instructions on how to deal with opposition. I mean, you never know when you first start to point out a scriptural problem whether the individual that you're dealing with is going to receive the correction or not. So when you begin, you start by dealing with the opposition. You know, it's always helpful to try to figure out as quickly as you can the kind of person you're dealing with, so you'll know how to deal with the opposition, so that you don't get into strife and contention. I mean, there are people who go to witness to somebody and they find that the person they're talking to is steeped in a religion, and the thing before long turns into an argument, turns into strife, turns into contention, and turns into an opportunity to see which person, you know, is right, or who can prove his point better. Evolutionists and creationists get into these kinds of arguments sometimes. So we're going to talk about personal conflict. We're going to talk about opposition when you're just dealing with somebody over a doctrinal issue. We're trying to encompass all of that into this this lesson here, and hopefully you'll hear some things that'll be a big help to you. The first thing I think that really, really helps when you are dealing with opposition is make sure you're right. Make sure that you're right. Look in Proverbs chapter 29 at verse 20. The Bible says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." What's the problem? He thinks he's dealing with opposition, and so he starts, you know, spouting off his mouth right away like he's dealing with an opponent, because he was hasty in his words. He wasn't sure of the ground on which he was standing. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, another excellent, excellent scripture dealing with this first point. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." I've often noticed when people are opposed to each other, and one person is stating his point, the other person is not listening to the point. The other person is stewing over in their mind how they're going to make the point they're fixing to make. And then when they start to make it, the other person who has just finished speaking isn't listening, because he's already thinking of his rebuttal. And then, you know, it's awfully hard to carry on a conversation with somebody when you're not listening to what they're saying. Husbands and wives get into this situation all the time. So before you confront somebody that you think is in opposition to you, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be absolutely sure that, first of all, you're not the one at fault. I mean, in other words, in a personal conflict, if you jump in there hasty in your words, haven't heard the other person out, assuming that the thing that you're upset about is the thing they caused, and you start pounding them verbally, you may find that in short order you have fully embarrassed yourself, because you were working on assumption and you weren't working on truth. You had no idea. You worked on conjecture, you worked on hearsay, whatever, but you had no idea where the person you're talking to really stood. You ought to listen to them. You really should. And sometimes you'll find, if you're listening to somebody who is of a different religious belief, for instance, maybe it's not a personal conflict, you know, you'd be wise to hear them out, to find out what they believe about the religion that they adhere to. I mean, I know that if you've studied, you can argue the difference in the religions, certainly if you've studied. But it may be that they don't hold the same way as what you've studied. So you ought to listen to them a little bit. Make sure you know where you are. Because if you're not sure where you stand with them, then you're going to start answering. You're going to start speaking hastily. And you're going to miss an opportunity, okay, to get into a dialogue that may be very helpful to both of you. So if you're not sure where you stand, listen carefully to your, and I put this in quotation, opponent's side of the story before you jump in there trying to straighten him out. You can save yourself a lot of embarrassment if you'll listen and if you'll be sure where you stand before you speak. Don't be hasty with your words. Make sure you are right. All right, here's the second thing. When you're dealing with opposition, the second thing to do is take it directly to the person. Now, this concerns mostly personal conflict. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25, and look at verses 9 and 10. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. What's he saying? When you got a problem with somebody, you go to that person, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself. Don't discover that secret to somebody else, because the person you go tell might put you to shame, and your infamy turns not away. I remember years ago we had a situation where a lady in the church was opposed to somebody else in the church, and so she was going around and kind of building her case by talking to other people. Well, fortunately, the couples that she was talking to would come to me and say, hey, did you know old so-and-so has bad things to say about this person? What should we do? And I said, you know what? I think the thing for you to do is not to listen. In gossip, the person who provides the ear is just as guilty as the person who's speaking. So I think the best thing for you to do is just the next time that she comes to you with a complaint or with gossip or with trying to run this person down, just say, you know what, we're not interested. If you have a problem, go to that person yourself or go to the pastor. Well, she had six couples that she went to. Every one of them gave her the same answer. And you know what she did? She quit. She left. She left. Why? Because of this. She would not take it directly to the person. And you know what happened? It was her shame and her infamy. That's right. So if you got a problem with somebody, you need to go to them and only to them. This passage in Proverbs, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, it fits really well with the instructions that the Lord gave us in Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15, 16, and 17, the Bible says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Why? Because you sorted it out, just the two of you. Nobody else even knows what happened. And you gain your brother because you solved the problem. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. That's all you need. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. What's he saying? He's saying, you know, there could be a trespass that's big enough that it is a church-wide matter. But for the most part, he says, you know what? You and that person can look each other in the face and sort this out. So when you are dealing with opposition, go first to the person with whom you're having the problem. First. You don't even need to tell your spouse. Just go to the person. But you know what the problem is? The problem is people have a hard time with confrontation. Why? They're fear. They're afraid. So I say to you, get before God, pray, learn to walk in the fear of the Lord, and then go do what God told you to do. Debate your cause with the neighbor yourself and discover not a secret to another. Then just get up the courage in the fear of God to go tell the person eye to eye and face to face, because that's the biblical way to deal with a problem. Don't you dare air it out with someone else. And you say, why? Because you will be guilty of sowing discord among brethren. Just because this is something that affects you the way that it affected you doesn't mean that you're right. And just because a thing affects you the way that it affected you doesn't necessarily mean that the other person was wrong. You had a problem. You got to sort it out. But when you go sorting it out with other people, you are sowing discord among brethren. And Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 says, These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the last thing on the list is found in verse 19, he that soweth discord among brethren. So you are way out of bounds trying to deal with opposition by going to other people and see if you can sort it out with them. It's not their business. You go to the person. You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, if you can't take it up with the person that you think you're having trouble with, then you know what I say to you? Get over the problem. And if you can't get over the problem, then go see them and listen to them. And don't be hasty with your words, and make sure you're right. You may find that after speaking with them a little bit, you didn't have the problem you thought you had. Okay, point one, point two. How do you deal with opposition? Make sure you're right, and then take it directly to the person you're having the problem with. All right, what else? What else should you do? How do you deal with opposition? Well, if you don't want the thing to turn into strife and confusion, here's what you do. Third thing, stick with the truth. Stick with the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. Stick with the truth. You know what I found a lot of times when these things start escalating? Somebody gets off. It becomes emotional. It becomes emotional. And when it gets emotional, people aren't concerned about the truth. They're concerned with how they feel, and they get off track. Look what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26. We'll pick it up in verse 24 for the context. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So the devil gets into this thing when people depart from the truth and takes them captive when he wants to. And the way out is when you have to confront somebody, come in meekness, be patient, teach them, instruct them. If God peradventure will give them repentance, watch it, to the acknowledging of the truth. So stick with the truth. You see, a person who is in error must acknowledge the truth, if they will. Because it's the truth that makes you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. So the best thing to do is to get the Bible open in front of a person and give him the biblical explanation or the biblical definition of his error. And I mean, when you open the Bible, give him plenty of time to digest the passage. Give him plenty of time to ask questions for clarification. Give him plenty of time to comment if he needs to. You know what happens in religious discussions, in arguments over doctrine? Somebody will show a verse of Scripture and say, see right there, that verse shows you clearly, unmistakably, that the position you hold on that doctrine is not right. And they'll say, yeah, but what about? Now, you know, when a person says, yeah, but what about, and goes to another verse of Scripture, you know what they have not done? They have not acknowledged the truth. What they're doing is going and taking another verse of Scripture and applying it or misapplying it or resting it to their own destruction in order to argue their point in the doctrine. And that's not going to work. You get them to the passage of Scripture. You hold to the passage of Scripture. There's the truth. There's what it says. Don't take me to another verse of Scripture until you have acknowledged the truth of this Scripture. give them plenty of time to digest it. Don't start chasing a bunch of rabbits around. I've watched, not so long ago in my neighborhood, the Jehovah's Witnesses were there working on a Saturday in force. And I was walking, and I saw two of them, and I was cordial, and they wanted to engage in a conversation. We did, and we started talking and so forth. And why do you, you know, I was witnessing and so forth, and why do you believe this? And I'd say something. They'd say, well, what about? What about this passage? Finally, I looked at that guy and said, let me tell you something. You're taking me to another passage of Scripture to change the field of play. Let's talk about the one I gave you that you don't want to answer. And why don't you digest that one, okay? And let's discuss that one, because it's obvious you don't want to. You want to go over here to another point and dodge the bullet again. Let's don't do that. Now, if the person you're talking to understands and receives the verse that you've shown him or the passage that you've shown him, then take him to another verse or passage, if you have to, so that he can see the truth. But if he doesn't receive the truth, you know what? You're done. Let me say it again. If he doesn't receive the truth, you are done. There's no sense getting into an argument. When I was visiting with those Jehovah's Witnesses, and the guy kept wanting to go to another verse of Scripture, I said, you know what? I smiled. I said, it's obvious. It's obvious that you don't want to deal with the truth of the passage that we're on. And there's no sense in us getting into an argument. Now, the thing that happened is, you know, there's always the leader and there's always the follower when the pair of Jehovah's Witnesses are going out. So I spent plenty of time dealing with them as long as I could keep preaching the gospel for the sake of the other person who was listening and was not arguing. Now, I know that the guy that I was dealing with was trying to show the younger fella, this is how you fade off these points. This is how you debate this thing. But for the sake of that person that was standing there, I didn't know if he was listening more to me or listening more to that fella he was talking to. And as long as I could get the gospel in there, I was staying with it. But once I saw that the guy was not receiving the truth at all, you know what I did? We're done. We're done. No sense getting into an argument. Why? Because the matter's only going to get worse. I mean, generally speaking, when I'm dealing with somebody or when we're dealing with somebody, we don't usually overwhelm them with the truth. I mean, if he's receiving it, fine. But if he's not receiving it, then, you know, you got to leave. And if he is receiving it, a little bit that he receives is better than just trying to just dump a whole load on him. Now, if he really wants more truth, we'll let him have some space, time to think it over. Why? Because we can always get together at another time and go over more Scripture when he's ready. You don't have to win all the argument, twist all the arm, clear up all the points. If you find somebody receiving truth, listen, this is very important. Give them as much truth as they can digest at that time and stop. You may never get a chance to deal with them again. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. He'll make sure somebody else like you comes along in the future to give that person more truth. Or it may be that y'all are friends and you can give him more truth later. But don't just sit there and keep stuffing him until you choke him to death. So when you're dealing with opposition, first of all, make sure you're right. Listen. Listen is a good way to be sure. Take it directly to the person. No sense airing it out with other people, and stick with the truth. If it's a personal conflict, go straight to the verse of Scripture that addresses it and deal with that verse of Scripture and be done. So that leads to the next point. When you're dealing with opposition, keep it short and simple. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs has some great, great scriptures that deal with how to deal with opposition. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 27. Here's another good way to deal with opposition. Watch it. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. So you don't have to get argumentative. You don't have to get profound. You don't have to bury them in all of your logic and reason. He that hath knowledge, watch it, spareth his words. My way of putting it is this. The short answer is always the best answer. That's right. If you know what the problem is and you know what you're talking about, you can just say, here's the problem, you're greedy. Here's the problem, you're proud. Here's the problem, you're envious. The short answer is always the best answer. I mean, if you know what you're talking about, you don't need to elaborate. You say, well, why wouldn't I elaborate? Because you will only arm your opponent with ammunition to use against you. When you can identify what the problem is and speak the truth about it from Scripture, you have closed your case. Once you start trying to sell it, once you try to start putting a lot of reason on it, you know what you do? A manipulator will take your reason, not your fact, not your truth, not your Scripture. He'll take your reason and he'll use it against you. So I say this, listen, get to the point and stick to the point. If they're receiving it, they'll get it. If they're not receiving it, you've done your job. So keep it short and keep it simple. You don't have to spend all day on it. Just get it done. I mean, particularly if the person is wrong, you know it, you've made sure you're right, you've taken it directly to the person, you've got the truth, boom, there's the truth. Now they got to go deal with it. If they want to, and if they don't want to deal with it, you could stay there all day and argue if you wanted to, and you would get nowhere. So that leads to the next point. How do you deal with opposition? Well, when you have made sure you're right, you've taken it directly to the person, you're sticking with the truth, and you've kept it short and simple, and they ain't getting it, you know what you do? You walk away from fools. That's how you deal with your opposition. You walk away from fools. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 is one of the greatest verses in how to deal with an opponent. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Proverbs 14, 7, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. If you're dealing with a fool, you're going to know it. You say, how? Because he won't know what he's talking about. Oh, you go, oh, yeah. See, if you would listen to him instead of always just trying to arm yourself with the next rebuff that you're going to give, if you would listen to him, you might find out that the poor guy doesn't even know what he's talking about. And if he doesn't know what he's talking about and you've given him truth and he still doesn't know what he's talking about, leave. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Walk off. You are absolutely wasting your time if you think you're going to correct a person who is a fool. I know that's the cruel reality, but it is the reality. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10 says this, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You couldn't beat it into him if you wanted to. You can't, obviously. You're not going to give a fool 100 stripes. Even the Bible limited stripes to 40. But the point is, you can't do it. That's what he's trying to say. If he's a wise man, he'll get the reproof. He's a fool, he'll never get it. Now, let me just give you this. I hope this helps you. Listen carefully. If you go to forums on the internet, or you go to the comment section after an article on the internet trying to straighten out fools by you know, quoting Scripture to him and all that, you know what? Listen. You are going to end up just like the fools you are trying to straighten out. That's it. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. I've watched it. I don't even read the comment sections. I don't even go to those forums where people argue about Bible things. Why? Because it's a bunch of fools trying to proclaim their foolishness. And you get into that stuff and you start trying to argue with them and reason them into the truth. And the next thing you know, you're just as Looney Tunes as they are. I mean, if the fellow is a heretic and he simply wants to argue his position, follow Titus chapter 3, verse 10. A heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. We have no problem letting a fellow go on in his ignorance if he doesn't want the truth from God's words. 1 Corinthians 14, 38 says, 8 says, if he be ignorant, let him be ignorant. I mean, why mess with him? You say, well, that's my ministry. I want to try to straighten these guys out. Well, they'll have you by the time it's all over. Whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest when you're dealing with a fool. Here's the next thing. Don't really walk away from fools, but this thing, don't even start with scorners. Don't even start with scorners. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Now, he may say that he's interested in hearing what you have to say, but if he's a scorner, don't believe him. When he hears wisdom, when he hears knowledge, when he hears the truth, you know what he's going to do? He's just going to reject it. That's what he's going to do. He's just going to reject it. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. You know why? Because when he sees it, he doesn't recognize it. And when he sees it, he rejects it. Now, I have some friends and their sons are scorners. And you know what? Their sons hate their parents for trying to straighten them out. Why? Because the Bible says that's what a scorner's going to do. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him. Proverbs 15:12. When you deal with opposition coming from a scorner, you know what happens? He only becomes more resolved in his error. Let me quickly give you the last thing. Here it is. Stay out of others' business. Stay out of others' business. In other words, if the opposition isn't really yours, but you see it going on with a friend of yours, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:17, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. If you want to get bit, get involved. But I would say take a lesson from hockey referees. When a fight starts, they don't get in it till the two guys that are in the fight are worn out. Then they step in. Why? They don't want to get hit. You see strife going on between two guys, you think you can get in there and straighten it out? Stay out of the fight. It's not your business. Let me summarize quickly by saying this. There are these little points we gave you today about how to deal with opposition. They're simple, they're scriptural, and they work. Now, there are things you can add to the list we gave you, but these simple principles will be a real help to you if you will follow them. And I pray that you do. I really do pray that you get in here and follow what God said, and it will really help you whenever you have to get into one of those situations you don't want to get into. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.